Memorial Day is a time to remember. And at the end of the service, I want us to remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ by partaking of communion. But remembering those who have fallen, the men and women who have given their lives, is especially significant all the time, but especially on this weekend, because that's what this weekend is set apart for. With every breath that a child takes in, there has to be a breath that goes out. There's one thing to inhale, then you have to exhale. There is a life, and then there is a death. Whenever you have a remembrance of death, whether it be in military or in other places, it causes you to become pensive and a bit reflective, and that sets the mood for the day. As I was sitting there in the first service, I was touched greatly, and I was remembering some of my friends who gave their lives, and also remembered beyond the military, my mother, who was, when I was 17, I carried her into the hospital, and I remember the time when she passed on, down to 70 pounds, and death is one of those things that happens to all of us. We all will have our appointment with death. The great thing for Christians is that because we know Jesus, death isn't the final step. It's the first step into the new heavens and the new eternal life that God offers to us. But it's good for us to remember today, and I want to carry on this same theme for the next 20 minutes. I want to talk with you before we remember Christ's death. I want to talk with you about death and how love is manifest through this thing we call death. There's one scripture we're going to look at. It's found in John chapter 15, and it's verse 13. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are five chapters that kind of go together. And in these chapters, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them goodbye, in essence. It's a farewell speech. In chapter 13 of John, he's with the disciples. They're having what we call the Last Supper together. Chapter 14, he says, listen, I'm going to leave, but don't be discouraged. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because I'm leaving, but I am going to come back again. And then in that same chapter, chapter 14, he gives this first wave of a farewell. In chapters 15 and 16, he goes into the second part of this farewell, and that's where we pick up this verse that we're about to read. And then in chapter 17, for those of you who know the scriptures, he has this tremendously in-depth, intimate prayer that he offers to the Father for on behalf of his disciples. So the verse is found in John chapter 15, verse 13. If you have it in your Bibles, if not, it's in your bulletins. You can take it out. If you're going to take notes, you can read it. Let's read it together. So right at the top, John 15, 13. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. The first expression of love that happens through death, in Christ's own words here, Jesus is the one that's speaking. He says, when you sacrifice your life for the sake of another, and he uses the term friend, when you do that, you're making the ultimate statement. Sacrifice is the first expression of God's love for us, but it's also an expression of love when we give our lives for someone else. That sacrifice is the highest statement of love. Sacrifice is a common term in the Bible. We first come upon it in the Old Testament, the fourth chapter of Genesis. Two guys, two brothers, Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel, they brought a sacrifice. It's also termed an offering to God. One was acceptable, one wasn't acceptable. It would take too long to talk about the difference there. But it had something to do with the sacrifice that Abel brought was an offering of a lamb that was killed, and the blood was shed, and that was acceptable to God. So in the Old Testament, we have these sacrifices that are offered to God. Under a guy by the name of Moses, who was the leader of the Israelites, he, through God's instruction, started this sacrificial system where sacrifices were offered to God as an atonement for our sin. You see, because God is just, whenever there's injustice, there has to be justice. Wherever there's a crime, there must be a penalty. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a just God. We have a loving God, but he's also a just God. So when we sinned, we committed treason. We did our own thing. I don't want you to rule my life. I want to rule my own life. We set up autonomy. We are going to do things our way. The penalty for treason and disobedience is death. So the only way to pay the price for that treason was to kill something, to have something die. So the sacrificial system was a system where it was very brutal, it was very bloody, but in the killing of the animals or the birds, whatever was offered to the Lord, it would be brought as an atonement, a payment to cover the sins. Kind of like when you do your wife bad and you come home at night and you bring her some flowers. It's an offering, okay, to appease, to correct things, even though that's a terrible analogy since it's on such a minute level, whereas the sin that we've committed involved death to a person. Fast forward, God loves all the world. He has before the foundations of the world was created, so he sends his son. He comes in human form. He is considered the sacrificial lamb. He had to die in order to pay for the sins that we did. Because of his death, for those who have put their faith in him, for those who believe in him, for those who have said, I'm going to follow Jesus, they don't have to offer bloody sacrifices anymore. Because the sins of our youth and our lives have been dealt with by Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And he died. Let me say this. Those who gave their lives in war died for a nation. Jesus died for all nations.
That's right.
The military died so that you and I could experience the external freedom that we have today. And when I remember what they sacrificed, I'll tell you, it's not just Thanksgiving that warms up. It's a heart of gratitude, knowing that we have today. And we better not take it for granted. We have today the freedoms because of the sacrificial death. That was their way of loving this nation. But God came and died on a cross in human form. His name was Jesus. And he died so that he could deal not with just our external freedom, but our internal freedom. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. And he dealt with, on the cross, in his resurrection, he dealt with our past sins, and he deals with the present power of sin. And ultimately, when he comes back, according to John 14, he'll take us home, and we will be free from the presence of sin. So we celebrate and remember those who died for a nation, but we would be remiss if we didn't exalt and lift up the one who died for all nations. The one who died for all peoples. All languages are spoken in his ears, and he hears all languages. That's why we sing in different languages. God hears all who call upon him. He died for that. He goes on and he says, you'll never find any greater love than someone who lays down their life for a friend. And I want to submit to you that I believe that word friend was used in the context of those that he was talking to. I don't believe that Jesus was intending to say, great love is revealed when you lay down your life for someone you care for and someone who is dear to you, someone who is close to you. I don't think that there would be any question if my wife came into contact with someone who was threatening her that I would give my life for hers. I have no doubt that I would give my life for my boys and my grandsons. No doubt at all. But Jesus, it says in Romans, he gave himself for those who didn't even love him yet. Listen to what Romans says, and I'm going to read from the message about Jesus. He says, rarely do you find someone who will give their life for another. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us all to selfless sacrifice. Verse 8, but God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death before we cared about or wanted anything to do with him. See, that's the type of love he's talking about. It's not just a love that is would be offering yourself for your close friends, but even those who don't like you, even those who stand opposed to you. I believe the word friends needs to be interpreted the same way that Luke 10 interprets the word neighbor. A lawyer stood before Jesus in Luke 10, and he said, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you have to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And he wanted to pretend that he was smart, so the lawyer said, who is my neighbor? Jesus goes on to give what we call the Good Samaritan passage, and he expands the understanding of neighbor. It's not just those who live next door to you, it's those that you meet along the way. When he says greater love has no one has a greater love than one who would lay down his life for those he or she encounters along the way. When you reach that point, you're experiencing a divine type of love. Now that's the type of love, the sacrificial love that Jesus loved us with. It's a powerful, powerful love. Now, this far in our 45 minutes together here now, we've looked at death. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down if you want. We've been viewing it as a willingness to die physically for the sake of another. But those of us who study the Word, and I would encourage all of us to get a good grasp of what the Bible says in its totality, it goes beyond just physical death. He says that in words, he says, you must be willing to die to yourself so that you can live for others. So when he talks about a great love, he's not just talking about physical death, but he's talking about a death to yourself as well. See, it's one thing to die for Christ, it's another thing to live for Christ. Amen. Jesus said, John 10, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that is in reference to his upcoming death, but it's also related and revolved around his life that was lived for 30 years. He sacrificed his life. He died to himself over and over and over and over again for them and for us while he was here in human form. No one takes my life from me, John 10:18 says, but I lay it down of my own. But there's also a willingness to die to ourselves that allows us to participate in this great type of love that God says. Now listen, very few of you raised your hands in comparison to the numbers here. Very few raised their hands saying that you were connected to someone or know someone who died while serving their country. They died in battle. See, many of us will never encounter people who actually lay down their life for people. I doubt that I will ever be called upon to lay down my life for my wife, as I suggested a few moments ago that I would do. But all of us can die to ourselves and live a sacrificial life for others. And that's what God is calling us to. That's what this church has to be. We sacrifice a Saturday a year. We sacrifice our summer to sign up for subs to take care of kids. I sacrifice to go out of my way to help someone. See, that sacrifice is a death to ourselves. We all can participate in this form of great love that comes from death because it does refer to that. But this second expression of love is the term surrender. And I've got to tell you that unless you're surrendered to God, you'll never sacrifice your life. You'll never sacrifice your life. As long as you're trying to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you will let go of your life and surrender it, you will in fact find your life. You'll find real purpose in sacrificial love. You'll find real purpose in surrendering your life. What is surrender? Well, according to the 12-step program, it's a necessary step to reach the point of recovery. But beyond that, and the manuals for 12 steps is very close to the biblical principles. It's not just a step in a process. It is a principle that causes you to live. You cannot have life in God until there is a point of surrender. And then many points of surrender after that point. In 1973, I said, I do, to my wife. And that's lasted for 40-some years now. But I've had to say a whole lot of little I do's along the way. It wasn't just that one big I do. It's not just about one-time surrender. It's I continually offer my life as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That's what he's calling us to. Listen to what Romans chapter 12 says. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, that's once again Paul saying, it's not just for those who actually die physically, but you need to die to yourself, and you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Whenever you practice self-denial, not the denial of self, but when you practice self-denial for the sake of someone else, you are practicing this type of love. I do things all the time that I wouldn't choose to do. And I think many of you do as well. But you do it for some other reason. Sometimes I do things because I feel guilty. Sometimes I do things because I feel pressured. Other times I just don't know how to say no to someone. There are lots of reasons, but when you do something because you have concern and care and compassion for someone else, and you deny yourself, you are dying to yourself and putting them first. You're practicing what Philippians 2 says. Don't be selfish, Paul says. I don't want you to forget about your own interests, but put other people's interests ahead of your own. That's the attitude he says that Christ has. That's the attitude that we should have. So he says every time you do that, sometimes I will go places because not because I want to go places, but because I love someone. Sometimes I will say things and I will do things. Sometimes I will give, not because I want to give, but because I have compassion for them. That's the type of love that he's talking about. And until you and I surrender our lives to him, we will not have any power to do that. Now, the word surrender is a term that kind of seems like a weakness. Would anybody agree with that? It kind of sounds kind of like a term that carries the connotation of being weak. I think, in especially for those people who think of themselves as strong, self-motivated, self-starters, I have the wherewithal to control, or I think I do, my own destiny. To think about surrendering is not a positive term, it's a negative term. I think of the military. I don't think the word surrender is embraced, because no hero ever surrenders. Conquering heroes, they come back victoriously. But in a biblical sense, there is a principle called victory through surrender. So when you give up your life, when you give up your desires, when you give up what you want, and you say, God, what do you want in my life? There's a breakthrough at that point. At that moment in time, there is a release of God's power to start working. See, as long as you are trying to live life on your own strength, I'm trying to live for Jesus. I'm trying to do what I can do for him. I want to be a better person. I'm not a good person. I'm trying hard. No, see, you're blocking God. It's not until you say, God, I can't live this life. This life is beyond my ability, so I surrender to you. Would you take me by the hand? Would you show me the path to walk? Would you help me to grow in my this arena called love? I can't love my wife like you tell me to in 1 Corinthians 13. I can't love my husband, but you can teach me, Lord. I surrender to you for your help. It's at that point that there's a release of his power. So you'll never be able to sacrifice your life until you surrender your life. It's the power to overcome your enemies. There's a scripture in James 4, 7 that says, submit yourselves to God, that's surrender yourselves to God, then if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. I can't tell you how many people that I pray for in any given week that wants me to pray that God will help them in the midst of their problems and help them to solve their problems, but they don't want him to touch them and change them. Lord, I need some more money. Please provide for me. Well, let me deal with your the way that you're approaching your finance. No, I just need some more money. See, I want him to fix the problem, and I don't want him to change my heart. See, there's not a surrender that's taking place. God, I don't know what you're going to do in this situation, but you've got to change me. See, that's the heart of surrender. I put in your bulletin a quote from Tozer that I've read, and I read it years ago, and I read it again, and it says this: the reason why many of us are still troubled, still seeking, still making little progress forward is because they haven't yet come to an end of themselves. We're still trying to give the orders and interfering with God's work within us. Someone said, and I forget who, we don't need a better way of living. We need a better way of dying. We've got to surrender our hearts to the Lord. I encourage you this week to turn the tables on the enemy and begin to see surrender not as a weak term, but as a strong term. You know, it takes courage and trust to surrender your life to the Lord.
That's right.
It takes courage. It needs strong people to surrender, to say, God, I don't want to drive my own life any longer. You may be here today and you've never had that conversation with God. Maybe you've been in church. Maybe you're brought up Catholic, Protestant, Jewish. I don't know what you brought up. Maybe you've been around religious things all the time, but you've never had a conversation. And you, your life, you don't live like God's in control. You live like you're in your own control.
That's right.
And to have a conversation with God, say, I want to surrender today. I want to give my life up to you. I know that doesn't mean I'm just going to sit around drinking coffee and you're going to do everything for me, but I need some instructions. You've got to help me to live this life. See, that's the life that he's talking about in John 15, 13, a life that will lay down his life, her life, for something greater than herself, the living God, and for other people.
Right.
We need to do that. I went to a farewell gathering this last Friday evening. It was similar to, not as profound, but it's similar to John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, where Jesus was saying farewell to the disciples. A young couple has been very instrumental in the church. They're leaving to a new country, going to serve God in a new capacity. And they, in their own words, said, nothing was happening. I was trying to make something happen. We were working hard, but it wasn't until we didn't throw up our hands and give up, but we gave in. See, that's what surrender is. It's not giving up, but it's a giving in to what God wants. So when we reached that point and did that, all of a sudden new things were birthed. New things started to fall into place, and now the time is right and for them to leave. I'm telling you folks that surrender is a key, is something that many of us need to consider. After I went there Friday night, and even before, because I had just finished reading a book by E. Stanley Jones called Victory Through Surrender. It's kind of a reversal of our thinking. And I read it years ago. I read it again. And I just paused, and I stood in my room by myself. Was at home. Everyone was gone. And I just stood there like this. I opened my arms, kind of like Jesus did. And I said, Jesus, I want to sacrifice my life to you. And I want to surrender everything that I have. I think I have, Father, but you know my heart. And then I prayed like David, will you please search my heart? And if you find something in there that's not right, I want to deal with it. And I said, Lord, I give you my finances. I don't want to spend my money the way that I want to spend. I want to spend it the way you want me to spend it. And I prayed that prayer before, and I think I've been doing that, but I don't want to just cover my bases. I want to make sure that they're surrendered in. I surrender my time, Lord. I don't want to hold on to my time. There are certain things that you want me to do. I want to give up one night, two nights. I'll give up a week. Lord, I don't want to hold on to the way I want to eat. I want to eat the way you want me to eat, God. If I need to fast, and I haven't fasted for a while, so I think there'll be a fast in the near future, future, giving up a meal so that I can seek Jesus during that time. Lord, I want to give up my eating habits. I want to give up all of these things. That's the time of surrender. When that happens, there is a release of His power that takes place. And how that's expressed is through service, and that really is the third expression of love. I can't say it any better than John, who wrote 1 John chapter 3. I can't say it any better than he said it in the New Testament. He says this. This is how we know that of what love God, excuse me, let me start over. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, this next verse is going to clearly show He's not talking about dying physically. He's talking about living sacrificially. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech only, but with actions and in truth. The proof of our love is not in our feelings, but in our actions. Whenever you sign up for things like Serve Day, it's happening this Saturday, 8:30 till about whatever time, 12:30 or so. When you sign up for things, you're not just cleaning up a street. You're not just planting new plants. You're not just painting something to the city. What you're doing is you're cultivating and growing a love that comes from God. That's what you're doing. Every time, don't miss opportunities like this, because you won't grow. You have an opportunity to grow in Christ when you sign up for things. When you say, I'll take care of kids in the summers. Hey, there are some people here who spend all year long taking care of our kids on Sunday so that I can enjoy a service. I've never even taken care of kids, but I will volunteer with that. You're not just going to take care of kids. What you're going to do is you're going to grow a type of love that is greater than any other type of love. And that type of love that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15 is a love that changes people. A love that reveals who He really is to people. So, our theme this year is love. And we're on opportunities. And I haven't tied the message into that totally, but here's the tie-in. Opportunities are going to come our way because we love Jesus and we love people. And when they come, they're going to be empowered if we have a surrendered life. They're going to be experienced through sacrifice, and they're going to be expressed through serving. If we will love people in this way, when those opportunities come, God's kingdom will be established through us. And it's all because of Jesus. And that's why we want to conclude today with celebrating His death by taking communion together. Brian said that the Lord spoke to him this last week about pruning. And as I was standing here in the first service, I thought, you know, God, we cannot live a life of sacrifice. We cannot surrender. We really cannot serve people from the bottom of our hearts unless You prune some things away. So I don't know what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. I don't know what you need to cut away. But the challenge this week is this. When you go out, look for an opportunity to deny yourself for the purpose of someone else. I mean, it could be as simple as don't buy a $4.60 cup of coffee at Starbucks. Go to Starbucks, look around, buy someone else that coffee, and walk out not drinking anything. It could be as simple as that. What will you sacrifice this week? Look for opportunities to sacrifice. But first of all, start this week by saying, I surrender this week to You. This week's Yours. But it's not just this week, folks. See, we can all get into a one day a year Saturday event. I'm going to be there. Many of you will be there. But it's not a one day event. It's a 365 day a year. Right. Commitment to life that says, I want to live a lifestyle of love. The opportunities that come my way, I choose to sacrifice. I choose to surrender. I am going to serve. And when you do that, His life comes pouring in because we find purpose in life. I'm going to ask the ushers and those who are handing out the communion, would you stand with me, everybody? They're going to pass a tray to you. They're going to give it to you. As the tray comes, would you please take the cup? Would you please take a piece of bread, then pass the tray on. We'll celebrate together in a few moments. Hold those together. The cup represents the blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus. The bread actually is a cracker. It represents the body of Christ that was bruised, broken, and beaten for us. And the Bible says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So we're going to eat the bread and drink the cup. In just a few moments, I'll lead you. And as they're passing it out, please sing this song with us. Say, Lord, with this lifted before you, that this represents our life in you. We're going to eat this, we're going to drink this, and I pray that it would be like a medicine to us. Even as we take medicine and it changes something inside, you've come into our lives and you've changed us. I don't want to think about my life without you. How could we make it without you, Lord? Even those who have never given you the honor you deserve, one day that will happen. But there are many who haven't, and yet you give life to them. Experience physical life. We've experienced you and experienced because of your blood that was shed, your body that was broken. Experience spiritual life that's affected our physical lives, our soul, our minds, our motives, our goals. They've all been changed because of you, are in process of changing. And I honestly don't know how to say thank you, but thank you. Thank you for the men and women who've given their lives for our country. We honor them this weekend. But oh God, how grateful we are for you, because you gave freedom internally and eternally, and we give you praise. As we eat this bread, we do it in remembrance of you. Go ahead and eat. And as we drink this cup, we do it in remembrance of you. Go ahead and drink. And with your eyes open, my last prayer is, God, continue to shape us and make us like you. Help us to live and love the greatest form of love. We all slip, we all fall down, but let us get up again. If you need to surrender something today, please don't leave here without doing that. Elders, prayer teams are going to come down. You can come down actually right now as I'm talking. And if you need to talk with someone, come talk with them. Let's lay it down. Come in one way, go out differently. But let's challenge ourselves to say, God, I want to be like you. I want to give sacrificial love. I want to surrender my life, and I want to serve with passion. So be it in Jesus' name.